It wouldn't be a show
without you singing.
Do you know that my band does One Way or Another?
Oh, really? I love that song.
Like, oh my God, that song, you know, people say, oh yeah, One Way or Another, everybody does that song. So what?
I know, it's a good one.
It makes people crazy. Uh-huh. There is no bigger badass rock and roll star than Blondie. No. I am sorry. Yes. Women rock.
Yes.
Son of a bean.
I really love that song. And you know, it reminds me of the movie, oh God, now why am I flaking on the name of this movie? It was the movie about virginity, remember, with Christy McNichol? And it was the girls who lost their virginity with Matt. It was from the 70s.
With Tatum O'Neill.
Tatum O'Neill. Yes, and why am I forgetting?
Little Darling.
Thank you. You know,
baby. Whoa.
The first that they steal the school bus. They're at summer camp and they steal the school bus. And as Christy McNichol is driving it, they play the One Way or Another. And it's like, it just like it gets you going. But it's so funny to me that I love that movie. I remember the first time I saw that movie, I was living in Russia. And, you know, we had beta machines. And so somebody had that movie. And I went over to somebody's house and I watched it. And of course, I mean, I was at the time 12 and very, very prudish. Didn't ever, I mean, I had crushes and things like this on boys, but I never wanted them to actually touch me. But I was fascinated with sex. And so this movie was, I was so interested in it because it was about first time sex. And I love Tatum O'Neill. And also Armando Sante is in that movie, who I adore.
Yeah.
And it was just so great watching Tatum O'Neill lusting after him as a young girl. But the funny thing is that number one, the show that got me hooked on to Days of Our Lives, I was 9 years old and I happened to be switching the channel one afternoon in the summer and there was a first time sex scene on the show and I started watching and I became hooked. And then of course later I was actually on the show. But then I really loved Little Darlings. And then I wound up putting a book together with my mother, interviewing people on how they lost their virginity. And I just think it's kind of funny, you know, like the themes in your life, how they play out.
And that's how I met you.
Exactly. Yes. Because you interviewed me on the Lady Brain show and my mm-hmm. mother about the Virgin mm-hmm. Diaries. That's so funny.
Yep.
You know, how it all just like becomes this thread. And, you know, I mean, it's important, I think, extremely important to talk to kids about sex because, you know, they don't, I remember somebody I know made a comment. Actually, let me go back. My mother always used to say, if you're old enough to ask, you're old enough to know when it came to sex. Somebody else I knew said, who was an adult, if you're too young to ask, you're too young to know. And it's like, well, what the fuck's that supposed to mean? If you're too young to ask, it means that you have never heard of whatever it is you're asking about and you need some education. And where else are you going to learn it? If you don't learn it from people who are going to be honest with you, you're going to learn it from people either at school or, you know, somebody who doesn't have all the right facts. I mean, I heard mm-hmm. some crazy stories about losing your virginity that actually one thing that I heard was my girlfriend told me how awesome it was.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't for me. It wasn't awesome the first time.
It was awesome
sex
the second time.
Sex is awesome,
time.
But the yeah. first time sex is, at least for most women and even some men, as I found interviewing these people, it's not awesome. It's
right.
either awkward or painful. I mean, I know for me it was incredibly painful.
Yeah, for me, I just remember lying there and thinking, God, I just love this boy so much, but I don't know that I'm necessarily ready for this, but well, it's happening. And I said, yes. And, all I could think about was it over and over in my mind, my reputation. Cause I have a mom that grew up in the, you know, late 50s, early 60s. And that was kind of a thing then. That was, you know, women had to hold on to their reputation, right? Well, yeah. Screw that. I want to have sex cause I like it. Okay.
About reputation at all. I was with a bunch of punk rockers at the time, and it was in a hotel room that I paid for with my Christmas money. And we drank a lot of alcohol. And the only thing that I can truly remember is when it actually happened, and I refer to it as the ripping pain, because that's what it was. It was like, you know, the hymen, it gets ripped, and it's like, oh my God, there was no pleasure at all for me. The only pleasure that I had was the fact that it was my idea, although it was my idea because I was a little bit pressured. I was 16 and a half, and the boy that I was going, he was 18 at the time, he was dating another girl. It was his girlfriend, and he would lie to me and tell me that they weren't really together. And he lived about 40 miles away, and he had a car, and I didn't. So I really couldn't prove anything that he would tell me, and I wanted him to choose me. And I knew they were having sex, and I really liked him. So we had done everything else, and so I finally thought, all right. Actually, I had told him that I wanted to have sex with him earlier, which was several months earlier. I tried, and it didn't work. And interestingly, a lot of people in the book report that the first time they tried, it just didn't go in. It just wouldn't go in. And mm-hmm. I don't know what that comes from, whether it's just, you know, you're freaked out and it's not going to happen, or the awkwardness of it, or whatever it was. But second time around, it went in, and it was like, oh my God, shooting pain. But I felt I felt like I've arrived. I am now part of the adult population who understands the big secret. So I was promised by my friend that it would get better, and it did. Not with that guy, though, because he was awful. but you know, yes, obviously it got better. It's just so funny to me that you reminding me that we met because of that. Back in, I guess it was like 2013, 2012 or 2013, I don't even remember.
Yep, something like that. I know my daughter was very little.
Wow.
And she's now 10 and a half and says things like, yes, queen, with a snap when I tell her she asked me, she goes, where are we marching next?
Aww.
I know, right? Anyway, yeah, so it was, she was a little tiny baby then, or, you know, a couple years old.
Yeah.
Just off the breast milk.
Yeah, that was fun. And that was right before, I'm trying to think. Oh, actually, I think that was right at the time when I had written my Rush Limbaugh Thinks I'm a Slut. And I started writing for, what was it? Addicting Info. They had contacted me. Now it's all coming back to me, because it was right around April or May of 2012. And so I think just when, you know, we went into the studio to talk with you, I had just been invited. My mom had been writing for Addicting Info, and then, which I don't necessarily recommend that blog anymore, but, you know, at the time, I had never written about politics. I had never ever written a blog before outside of my own little blog that I had on, I don't even remember, some blog site that everybody used, but... you know, that was my launch. The Rush Limbaugh Thinks I'm a Slut thing was my launch into the feminist activism part of my life. And here I am today, all these years later, with a podcast, yep, talking to you and Alyssa Milano. And it's just, it just blows my mind. And I'm also, I just have to brag for just a second, because I'm so excited. I want to preface this. I used to be an actress. And back in, I don't know the year, but somewhere in the 90s, I auditioned to be Kristen Johnston's stand-in, mm-hmm, for Third Rock from the Sun. At the time, though, the show had not aired, and it was, the working title was Life as We Know It. So Kristen retweeted me just recently, and I've always felt a bit of a kinship with her, because she's also tall, blonde, sarcastic.
Fabulous.
And just, I loved that show. And she was fucking awesome on that show. And I blew the audition that I had to be her stand-in, though, because what I wanted was a SAG card, the Screen Actors Guild card. And so I signed up with this company that would put you out on auditions with union jobs. And if you had three union auditions, you would get your SAG card. But it was really hard to get those union auditions unless you had a SAG card. So anyway, I did this, and I went for that audition. And I remember, again, I don't know if I think what I did was I lied when they asked me about my schedule, because I didn't want to be a stand-in. I just figured, why would I be a stand-in when I'm going to be a big famous actress? But, you know, I didn't want the stand-in job, so whatever. Anyway, so I told Kristen when she retweeted me, I tagged her, and I just said, you know, hey, by the way, and I told her, and she wrote, no way, and I said, way, and then she followed me, and so now we were following each other, and she'll retweet me, and I'm just like, I'm so excited. I'm like over the freaking moon. I've had the opportunity as an activist and as a podcast person and a blogger and all of this to, you know, come in contact with people that I would never have the experience of knowing in any other way. And, you know, like Molly Jong Fast, she's so brilliant. She's so funny. I don't know if you happen to see on All In with Chris Hayes last night, they used one of her tweets.
No.
Did you see the story yesterday of the woman who posted a picture of her son from the Navy and used the hashtag him too? Did you see that story?
Oh, no, please, God.
Well, basically, it's awesome because she's a Trump supporter, and she was going on and on about how her son is so, you know, he's from the Navy and he's never raped a woman, whatever. And then she writes him too. So then her son sees this and he takes a picture in the same pose that she posted of him dressed up as a sailor. And he basically just calls her out. And he's like, okay, that was my mom and she's wrong. And then everybody jumped in on this him too thing by doing their own meme of this is my son. And just kind of mocking this woman who was mocking the Me Too movement. And so Molly Jong, I think she quote tweeted, I don't know how to say her last name, Kimberly Guilfoyle. Is that how you say her last name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Guilfoyle.
So she had a picture of her and Don Jr. up. And so Molly, of course, sarcastically wrote this tweet about how Don Jr. was her son and the him too thing. And it was funny anyway. So it's like, but it was like awesome. And, you know, and then the fact that you and I have been able to interview her and talk with her, you know, these people are so interesting to me and they have so much to add to the dialogue. So it's awesome to be a part of it. You know, I mean, it's just like it's bragging rights, but it's I think the internet allows you now that you don't have to be in that group in order to engage. You get to engage right. with anyone you want, whether you know them personally or not. So that's the wonderful. I mean, there's some shitty things about the internet, but that's one of the more wonderful things.
Right. Well, just to, you know, agree, echo, and add on to what you just said. You know, these people, which you're the one, you're the heavyweight in this one. You're the one with the social media following. I just, you know, got lucky enough to become your friend and we agree. So this is fun. But it really, you know, you get these amazing people to come on, although I did get an upcoming guest, which I'm very excited about. But we'll go there later.
Yes.
We support each other in this effort. However, when we say things to people like, oh my God, I'm talking to Alyssa Milano with my podcast partner today, and everyone in the room goes crazy and knows, it just goes to show you that this is a thing. We're on to a thing. We are part of a thing. We are helping to perpetuate, just as anybody who decides to get involved, just as my mom, who has maybe 30 Twitter followers, but she's involved. She's up to the minute with the news. Yeah. She has opinions. She's not afraid to voice them. She's a voter. She's out there. Do you know what I mean? Like we all, every single one of us who decides to be active, who decides to be vocal, who decides to say, you know what, I'm going to make calls on behalf of the person who's running for Congress in my district. That's how we all do it together. And I've never before felt so united with like-minded people as I do right now. And my kids, you know, I get emotional, as you've seen. But, you know, my daughter goes, why were you talking to them? And I said, because these are decent people who are taking a minute out of their day to ask me how I'm doing. I am going to engage with those people because that's how we survive in this time. And that's how we draw strength. And that's how we go forward and kick ass and stand up and speak out and reach out to. It takes balls for you to say, hey, Alyssa, what do you think of the ERA? You know, and you do that because you care and she cares. So she's engaging with you because she cares. That's how the world goes around.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, it's like, it's fun to talk to celebrities and all of that, but it's more than that. It's just the fact that, you know, you can be somebody who has 1,000 or 300 or whatever it is, Twitter followers, and you can put something out there. And if you figure out the way to phrase it correctly or whatever it is, it goes viral. You don't have to be famous we're all in this together and we're all amplifying each other. And I think that that's the one of the beauties of the internet, because obviously, you know, the Russians have utilized the internet as a weapon. And obviously there's also, you know, there's the whole right wing smear tactic thing, and there's this and that. But I, you know, there's always going to be the positive and the negative. But the positive is the internet is connecting people, and it's helping to spread certain narratives. It's, you know, whether it's good or bad, but it's, you know, at least on the good side, we're spreading information. It's like the idea that Rand Paul's wife has just said that she sleeps with a gun near her bed because she's afraid of all the angry liberals and the whole, the whole, and first of all, they're getting money from, they got money from Russia, which was laundered through the NRA. So, but what they're doing is they're just like Trump always does. They weaponize victimhood. Trevor Noah did a wonderful piece. I have it on my Facebook page, but if you look up Trevor Noah and Trump victimhood, something like that on Twitter, it's 8 minutes. Everyone should watch it. It's fantastic. And he totally talks about how men specifically in this Me Too movement have victimized themselves. Oh, you know, there's like, let's say 90 out of 100 women are sexually assaulted, and maybe 1 or 0 out of 100 men is ever accused, falsely accused of rape.
Oh, Trump, come on.
Trump understands how to utilize this fear in men. Like, all these women are going to come after you and falsely accuse you of rape, when the numbers stand with the victims and the survivors. Mm-hmm. But he understands how to, everything is so unfair. Oh, poor me. And so, you know, poor Rand Paul's wife. It's not even real. It's just a propaganda technique.
The only thing that's real about these people is their desire to hang on to their white status in society.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's real. That's the only thing that's real. That's the only thing that motivates them. That is the only reason they are stripping. I can't. How much more time do we have? Come on.
We have a little bit of time.
Well, I'm just, you know, it all goes back to, you know, brown people, LGBTQ people, women people.
Yeah.
We all pose a threat to their standing in society. Mm-hmm. They don't, it is the ultimate boys club, and all the boys are white, and the majority of them are old, and all of them are out of touch. And that's just, they're going to do whatever they can.
Well, and it's just, and like Alyssa women said, they reverse what they're feeling on, they, like, you know, they turn it, what their fear is, they turn it on to us as if we're threatening them with that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Do you know that when I was 28 years old, I had been in my business, I was in the radio sales business, and I,
so was my mom.
I had, yeah, and I, that's a grind. That is a grind, and it's a great, if you can succeed at it, it's just a wonderful way to make a living. It's really fun. You get to meet amazing people. You're working in radio, you know, you sell things like 49ers football when Steve Young's the quarterback, and, you know, Bob Weir comes in to talk with the talk show host on the number one rated show for 20 something years, you know, like you get to be around really cool things. And it was a really fun job. Well, I worked my butt off, and I had some early success pretty young, and I threw my hat in the ring for a really big management position to be the national sales manager for a radio station that was the crowned jewel of then ABC radio. And with that job comes the responsibility of traveling to the different markets, mm-hmm. where you're talking to rep firms who deal with ad agencies in each of those markets. And you tell the story of how great your station is and how we'll sell that much more, you know, ramen for you. And you motivate the sellers in each of the different markets. And it was a big job, and I got it. And I was 28, and I beat out a bunch of dudes who were older than me. And I will say I nailed that job. And this is not bragging. This is fact. Okay. Yeah. I loved it. I took a pay cut to do it. I needed to show myself like I'm good at something. I'm good at this. And I succeeded. Well, I heard after I got the job, and not from the guys who I beat out. I think those people remained friends and mm-hmm. colleagues. But I heard that I slept with the boss, wow. who was the decision maker to get it. A man who had been happily married to his wife for then 30 years and had 3 adult children. I slept with him. They gave it to me because I'm Mexican and they needed to, you know, check a box. Right. I heard that I had something on someone. They're like, on no reason for me getting the job was on my merit.
Of course.
Right. And that reputation preceded me. I had to hear it from somebody else at another station that, well, they said that you slept your way to the top. And I was like, oh my God, I was so PO'd. And I remember it, like, father had passed that point. Ugh. And my mom was like, welcome mm-hmm. to the boys club, honey. She's like, you just got to do that job and you just got to hold your head up high. And you know what the reality is, right? And I'm just, you know, that's where we were. That was 20 something years ago. We're there today. Mm-hmm. And so I think it is incumbent upon us, you and I, who have a similar amount of life experience, to just continue to shout from the rooftops. Not only am I good enough and I'm smart enough, but I'm probably better than you in a lot of ways, fella. So you keep your mouth. No, seriously.
Get the fuck out of my way.
I haven't been, you haven't been passed over because of your gender. I'm going to scrap. I am going to fight and not, you know, anyway.
Yes, we will. We will fight. And, we can only fight. And we have to be strong and we have to just keep going, because every time you turn around, they're throwing more shit at us. So we got to be strong.
We got to be bad. We got to be bold. We got to be wiser.
I should have picked that song. But actually, I think we're going to go now. So,
let's do it. On a high note.
Thank you for listening and supporting the show. And next week, we're going to be talking to David Weissman. We hope you'll listen. And thanks so much. Thanks for everybody.
Thank
who
you
listens
for
to
everything.
All right. Take care, Steph.
Beautiful. You too, Kimberly.
Bye.